Maybe a word. Maybe a word to the AV brothers. Have this song ready at the conclusion of my sharing. Okay? Thanks. When we first wrote the schedule of the messages and of who will speak, this was one of my responsibilities to put together the schedule, all the brothers, and I really like it when all the brothers share, so I actually only chose to speak to the high schoolers once and to speak to the junior hires once, and then to listen to the other brothers. And I had no intention to take this session tonight. Actually, we didn't know what we were going to do tonight. What would we do for a conclusion? That was the question. What would we do for a conclusion? I think maybe a number of the brothers just took for granted that I was going to say something. But actually, it was not my intention until maybe even Thursday night, because nobody really said anything. But as the week went on, I just started to get a lot of feeling. Not specifically really what to say, but how to encourage you after tonight, after tomorrow. I was thinking, after we actually gave 14 messages. You have 14 outlines. So I was thinking like this, what more could we tell them? I mean, we already told them like everything. What more could we tell them? But even if there were no words, there's just a lot of feeling. And maybe the feeling can be wrapped up in this. If after everything we talked about, you, each of you, doesn't somehow have a relationship with this book, then what was it all for? Actually, that's too dramatic, because many of you memorized verses. Some of you memorized all the verses. We only recognize the seniors this afternoon. How many of you memorized, how many of you memorized at least 10 verses in this True School? Please raise your hand. At least 10. Wait. I didn't ask you to comment about it. I just asked you to raise your hand. Okay, that's very good. How many did 20? 20? Okay. How many did 30? How many did we have? I don't even remember. 70? 71. I think it was 71. What did I ask? What was the last one? 30. How many of you did 35? 40? 45, 50. Seems like once you got up there, you went for the whole thing. Okay, 60. And did the perfect verses, the whole thing. Okay, very good. Let me tell you, let me come back to this. How many of you memorized at least one verse this summer school? Raise your hand. One verse. You're blessed. Do you know? One verse can actually change a person's eternal destiny. The Word of God is that powerful. That one verse can change your life. If we had time, I think we could have many testimonies of the older ones, one after another, how one verse changed the course of our lives. I'm going to share a few of those stories with you tonight from this book. We've been, from the first night, that was 10 days ago, we've been looking at Psalm 119 a little bit. I want to show you something from Psalm 119 that I hope you could take home with you, that I hope would stay with you. But before that, I want to give you this kind of introduction. I would like you to write down, five chapters in the Bible. Five chapters. I don't mean write out five chapters, of course. These are the five chapters. Not in the order that's in the Bible, but in chronologic order of how the events happened. John 1. John 1. Matthew 4. Ephesians 6. 2 Thessalonians 2. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And finally, Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Could you please read those five references out loud together? 1, 2, 3, go.
John 1, Matthew 4, Ephesians 6, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation 19.
These five references are a New Testament study of the Word of God. I'm going to go very quickly. In John 1, it starts, in the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was
with God.
And the Word
was God.
And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. Amen. Very interesting. Who became flesh? That's Jesus Christ. But here it doesn't say Jesus Christ became flesh or the triune God became flesh. It says the
Word.
So he is the Word.
Amen.
He is the explanation of God, the expression of God, the definition of God, the manifestation of God.
Amen.
He is God speaking.
Amen.
Actually, if we do the whole Bible, I can take you to Genesis 1. And in Genesis 1, 3, we have these classic words. Everybody nearly knows them, that it says it, but they don't know the meaning. And it says this, and God said. What did he say?
Let there be light.
Let there be light. And God said.
Amen.
Oh, that's a big thing. And God said. And God said. The Bible begins with God speaking.
Amen.
There are different verses throughout the Old Testament that says, he speaks and it was. God speaking is powerful. Anyway, New Testament, back to New Testament. John 1, in the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was
with God.
And the Word
was God.
14, and the Word
became flesh.
Jesus is the Word. And he walks around wherever he went. Who was he?
The Word.
Why? He spoke God, manifested God, explained God, defined God, expressed God. One day, okay, that's at his incarnation. Remember, he came, right, as a baby. Came as a baby. He grew. Very interesting. The one story between the age of birth, between birth and 30. You know, he began his ministry at 30. We have, in those 30 years, maybe some events are explained between birth and up to 2.5 or so. 2.5. And we have, I think it's 2.5 chapters of the 89 chapters in the gospel. Did you know the four gospels have 89 chapters? Of those, I think it's 2.5, talk about his birth and his very young youth. And 86.5 chapters, 86.5, talk about, or 86.25, talk about his ministry at 30 years old and older. There's one little sliver, a quarter of a chapter at the end of Luke chapter 2. It talks about Jesus growing up. How old is he?
12.
12 years old. Very interesting. Why 12? Why this story? And what does it show us? He's talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
It's very interesting. It's like he had his own little summer school there. And Mary, St. Mary, she goes with the caravan, with the whole crew. And then she, a day's journey later, she realizes, oh, forgot my son. So then it says they took a day's journey back because they had gone already a day. Gotta go back. Then they took one extra day looking around. It took 3 days to find him. Where did they find him? You know the story. In the temple. What was he doing? He was there. It says he was asking and answering. It's very interesting. Why was a 12-year-old boy answering? Who was he answering? It must have been these people in the temple who knew. He was asking questions of them. Could it be possible that they were asking questions of him? That's what it says. And then they ask him, and what were they talking about? Surely they were talking about the Word of God. Actually, they were probably talking about the Torah. The books of Moses, probably. Maybe, it could be. Maybe he was asking them if they knew the prophecies, you know, about him. But I don't think he told them that it was about him. But anyway, they were talking about the Word at 12. Anyway, fast forward, he's 30 years old. Now we come to Matthew 4. Why is Matthew 4 significant? That's when he's starting his ministry. Starting his ministry. And he's baptized in chapter 3. And it says the Spirit thrust him into the wilderness. To be what? To be tempted by the devil. Wow. And then, the devil comes. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil comes and says, oh, you're hungry. Make these stones bread. And then he gives this answer. You know this answer, right? He says, we have songs to it. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. So Jesus, in his ministry, in the beginning of his ministry, how did he fight Satan? The Word. Not just the Word. The right Word at the right time. He applied the Word. He didn't just open to, like he did later, Isaiah 61 in Luke 4. He opens to Isaiah 61 and reads. It's not like he opened the Bible and went like this. Let me see Satan. I'll just read a verse and you'll go away. No, it's not like that. He had the right word at the right time. Why? Because he knew how to apply the word to his situation. And that's what we want for you. Learn how to apply the word. The verses that are in your heart that you memorized, even if it's that one verse, or the 71 verses, or anything in between, we want you to learn to apply that verse. Actually, the Spirit will help you. You may not realize, when you memorize the Bible and it's in you, oh, you give the Holy Spirit lots of chances to speak to you and operate in you. Because we've said it, I think one of the brothers said it earlier in I don't know which meeting, but because the Spirit speaks Bible. The Spirit speaks Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks Bible. And the more Bible you have in you, the more the Spirit will speak to you. The Spirit's trying to speak to you, but if you don't know his language, all you'll know is, One of my grandsons, he doesn't speak so much right now. We're still determining whether it's just his maturity or there's some problem, some structural something. Because his mommy, my youngest daughter, did have some problems and needed surgery. So we're wondering. But he communicates and he tries to communicate. And so, but he doesn't articulate that much. So it's, ah! And then you say, oh, do you want the water? Ah! Okay, so to face this situation, my daughter taught him how to sign. So he goes, who knows what that is? Milk. Please. Then you give it to him, and what does he do? What's that?
Thank you.
Thank you. And I say, you're welcome. So we learn each other's language so we can communicate. He calls me. You know what he calls me? My name to them is Papa. Papa. He calls me Matt. I don't know why, but it's not just Ma, it's Ma. Always like that. And I think because we were FaceTiming, and I said, Papa, you know, in the FaceTime, and he goes, Ma. I said, no, Papa. And he went, Ma. So not always. In the FaceTime, he goes, Ma. But it's Ma. Ma? Okay, here. Or he says, Ma. He's trying to do this. What's this? Water. So because he learned a language, we communicate. So I know what he's saying. God is trying to communicate with you. But you're like, water? Milk? Bible? Because you don't know his language. But if you learned one more verse this week, God can speak to you more. If you learn 30 more verses, oh, God can start really talking to you. If in these 6 years you learn 400 verses, I think you and God are really ready to have a relationship. Ephesians 6. What's in Ephesians 6? It tells us that the Bible, combined with the Spirit, becomes a sword. Ephesians 6 is about fighting the enemy, the church fighting the enemy. And somehow it combines the Spirit, the Word, and a sword. These three things are combined. So do you get something here? That the Word of God has a function for fighting. Fast forward to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, this one I want to read you. 2 Thessalonians 2. This, I know these verses we're generally not as familiar with. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about the Lord's coming. Actually, yeah, this is how it starts. Now we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him. And it goes on, and especially it talks about the man of lawlessness. Who's that? What do we call him? Antichrist. It's interesting. In the Bible, he's never called, actually, the Antichrist. Christians call him that. But he is the man of lawlessness. And it says like this. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. You know, one day. We don't know who that man is. We don't know who that man is, that lawless one. And, oh, well, let me pause for a moment before I finish. there was a thought that I wanted to share with you. Tonight, and maybe this is really bottom line on my heart, so I really want your full attention on this. What I want to convey to you, and I told you before, is something very practical for this coming week, for your going on. That's one thing. But connected with that, I want you to see something big. This is what we call a vision. I want you to realize something about your generation and where we are in time. And I want those two things to be combined. That because you understand where we are in time, where we are in history, especially after what we saw last night with all that about the people giving themselves for the Bible and all that, that you could see something big. And because of that, then this week becomes meaningful, this coming week. Monday is meaningful. And because of that, you read the Bible Monday. That's what I'm trying to get. Something big, something practical. Something big, something practical. This is the big thing. Here. It says in verse 7, no, 8. And then the lawless one, I told you. We don't know who that is. But in my heart, I really believe this person who will be manifested as the Antichrist, as the lawless one, I really believe he is alive today. Quite possibly, and I have no basis for this, just a feeling I have, educated in one of our Northeastern Ivy League schools, though he will be from another country. That's what the prophecy says. Prophecy says nothing about Ivy League. That was just my putting it in there. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay by the breath of his mouth. Listen to that. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay. Amen. By the breath of his mouth. Amen. By his word. The Bible tells us, and now we're going to go to Revelation 19. And in Revelation 19, the Bible tells us this story, that there will be an actual physical battle between this Antichrist and our coming Lord Jesus. I mean, this is like Star Wars stuff. I mean, like it's like, I know it's almost science fiction, it seems. But dear young people, you're actually going to see this. Brother Dennis, you know, he just took a trip to Israel in June, and purposely he wanted to go to where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. Megiddo, that valley. He went just to see where it's going to be. And there will be this battle, and the Lord Jesus, that man will defy God. He will say he is God. He will say he is God. He'll say, there is no God. I'm God. And then he will go into the temple in Jerusalem, which will be reconstructed, and you're going to see that. And when you see that, remember what we told you, that all this is going to happen, and you're going to see it. And actually, the news is going to be the Bible. Like, the Bible is going to become news. You're going to see that someday. And then that man will go to the temple and sit there on God, like making a point at Jehovah, defying him. Well, there's going to be a battle, and then the Lord Jesus will come. And it says in Joel, calls it the mighty ones. They're going to come with him. So you might, even if you, I've never been to Israel. Maybe that'll be my first trip to Israel. Should we plan to be there together? Let's go there together. Amen. And the Lord will slay that man by the breath of his mouth, which is what? Word. Well, so through the whole New Testament, you see this consistent matter The word to defeat the enemy. To defeat the enemy. I just hope you can see a little picture, a little snapshot. Now we're going to come to what I prepared here. Psalm 119 is a very, very special book, chapter. We went through this the first night, but not everyone was here. 176 verses. Nearly every verse. Actually, we did a count. We went very thoroughly through this with all of your help. 176 verses and 171, at least 171 of the 176, mention the word of God at least one time. Five verses don't. But there are at least 8 verses that mention more than once. Which means that there's at least 179 references to the word of God in this one chapter in the Bible. And I want to encourage you, and this will come up here. Somebody did this. I want to encourage you. How about, maybe it's not for everyone because you have your little morning revival program or morning watch program, but maybe some would like to do this. Take this one psalm and just one verse a day. Just one verse a day. Read it in the morning. Can you do that? Can you read one verse a day? I think anybody and everybody here can read one verse a day. Just read one verse a day from Psalm 119. And pray it to the Lord. There's something in there about the word. And you're going to see the different ways that you can pray over these verses. Well, anyway, we'll come back to this. Psalm 119. These are the different references to the word in Psalm 119. Come down here. So sometimes it says word. Your word I have treasured up in my heart. We sang that just now. Sometimes it says words. But very interesting. Listen to me. There are two words for the word in Psalm 119. In Hebrew. In Hebrew there's two different words for the word. And then sometimes the word in Hebrew is translated as ways. So you guys who said ways the first night? Yeah, you were right. You were right. Girls, some girls did too. I forgot who did it. You were Apheth? You were, what is it? Aleph. So you guys were right. I went and I got in the internet and studied Psalm 119. So many studies on Psalm 119. So I found this out. So, but it's the word, but it's translated into different words in English. It's the word. Sometimes law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, ordinances, and judgment. These are the different words in our recovery version that refer to the Bible. Okay. Let's read this. It says here, somebody named the Masoretes, they said that it's every verse except that one. Some people disagree. I also disagree. So I agree with these people. So 84, 90, 121, 122, 132. Only 5 verses don't mention the Bible. All the others do. And these are, I don't expect you to write this down, but these are the Hebrew words. When it says law, it says Torah 25 times. And here it gives you. These are the two words, dabar or debar. I think it's dabar. And the bottom one, imra. And one of these is also translated into the word ways. Okay, these two stories. I want you to read these two stories, especially the next one. The next one's really cool, but let's read this one first. Okay, sisters, read that, please. Read that. Sorry. So this man, he took his dad's word, which is what I just told you. Take one verse a day and pray it. Muse on it. Actually, how about this? How about you read one verse in the morning, and then before you go to sleep, read it again. Before you go to sleep, read it one more time. You know, throughout your day, even if you didn't sin a big sin, sometimes, don't you ever just feel far away from the Lord? You didn't do anything really bad. You know why that is? It's the accumulation of just being in the world. Just being in the world makes us a little dirty. There's a verse that says, the washing of the water in the Word. If you read the Word, it'll just wash you inside. It'll just wash you. I don't know if some of you battle with thoughts right before you go to sleep. Maybe those thoughts cause you to have dreams, bad dreams sometimes. How about you read one verse before you go to bed, go to sleep? Maybe that will just wash you. Anyway, this man, what's his name? Henry? Matthew Henry. He ended up writing a commentary with 190 chapters. On Psalm 119. There's only 176 verses. He wrote a chapter on at least a chapter on every verse. That's how much he loved it. But I love this story. Brothers, read this story. Read this story. Listen, sisters, listen. Psalm 119 can save your life. Amen. Save this brother's life. George Wishart, 17th century. Okay. Your study of Psalm 119. You know what we did the other day? These are some of the ways that you found. Remember the second part of the question? How do the Old Testament seekers experience the Word of God? By walking in it. By, you can read it out, keeping it. By regard it, like think about it, regard it, don't just ignore it. By
learning.
By
learning.
By
and
treasuring it up. When you memorize, you store the Word of God in your heart. More. Declaring it, rejoicing, musing in it. Oh, I hope you can experience this. That the Bible could be your counselor. Speak to you. People, I think this was mentioned maybe in our special fellowship the other night. Like, there's studies about young people today, your generation. And it said, I think they told you this. You're the most socially connected, but there's studies that say among you all, there's people that's the loneliest. Because, and one brother, somebody pointed this out, even like on social media, the interactions are always very short, at least for the most part. Short. I ate this. Great. It's tremendous. Wow. Something, something. LOL. LOL, smile, smile. Three smiles. Three smiles, two hearts, five stars. That's how, you know, people communicate. What does it all mean? Do you have a friend to sit and talk to? You may have so-called, you know, it's interesting, a lot of them call it friends. Friends, it's friends on whatever. But do you have a friend you can talk to? I grew up, I had friends, but I think I mentioned to you, some of you, at least the other day, I was kind of a shy kid growing up. So I wasn't very outgoing, and naturally I'm not very outgoing. And my siblings are 10, 12, and 14 years older than I am. So I was a nuisance to them. Yeah. Because my mom spoiled me, and they resented that. Yeah. I was a mistake, actually. I found out. I was a mistake. Yeah. But I was a sovereign mistake. Sovereign mistake. Because I found out that my parents were having lots of problems. There was alcohol involved in my dad. He wasn't saved. And there were problems. And if I had not been born at that time, my mom told me later, probably they would have split. So I was a sovereign mistake. And I wasn't that close with my siblings because of the age. Although my sister did preach the gospel to me. But by the time I was 11, they were all married and out of the house. So as a young teenager, everybody in my family actually got married at 21 years old, yeah. Including me later. But by the time I was 11, I was alone. And so I had friends in the church I was going to, the denominational church I was going to. But I have to tell you, the Bible became my friend. I gave you that story, at least some of you, the other night. I would read the Psalms. And I'd find things there that just like, it was like God put that there for me. It was incredible, incredible. Have you found a verse like that at a certain time? Have you ever read a verse that it was like, whoa, it was like, it's as if God was just in front of you. I had experiences like that since I was 12 years old. And, I mean, my whole life. And I tell you, the more you read the word, the more the Lord can speak to you. Last year, I was in Sydney. I went to Australia, Brisbane, Australia. I went to give a conference, actually to help them for their summer school. And in the middle of the night, because of the jet lag, Brother Ken knows this very well. Actually, he travels to Australia as well. You know, that's whoa. And you're up at 1 and you're sleepy at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and it's just opposite. Anyway, I gave my meetings and then I went home, and at 12:30 or 1 I get up, and I didn't realize that my phone was on, but it was on mute because of the meeting, and I never turned it back on. And then I looked and I had, 7 or 8 messages. And I could tell what they were about. Because it was my sister, my sister-in-law, my other sister, my niece, my wife, and I didn't have to open it. I knew. My dad passed away. So, else they all wouldn't be writing me. So I was there, and this is weird because actually I didn't cry. there. But I knew he's gone. He's gone. And the Lord spoke something to me from a verse. This is why I'm telling you this now. And the verse has nothing to do with death. It was from John 2. And it's this verse. There's a story about Jesus turning water to wine. Do you know, you heard about that story? He's at a wedding and the wine runs out. His mother comes and says, oh, and whatever. And then he turns the water to wine. And then the master of the feast says something like this. Or the guest, I guess, that must have tasted the wine, says, you have kept the good wine until now. You have kept the good wine until now. The Lord spoke that. That word came to me. And I rejoiced. Why? Because my dad passed away at the age of 99. Yeah, 99. And some of you know the story. He didn't get saved until he was 69. I brought my father to Christ when I was 31 years old. And the Lord gave him 30 extra years. And the last ones were the best ones. Because he was in the Lord and he was in the church. So the Lord comforted me. Nothing really to be sad about. Except that, you know, he's gone, I miss him. But actually, the Lord was so faithful to answer all our prayers. 35 years of prayer. And the Lord answered the prayer. And gave us time to enjoy him as a brother in the church. So of course I don't want you to pass through an experience like that. But could the Bible be your counselor at a very particular time in your life? I hope so. I hope so. So just read. And you never know. You never know when the Lord will speak a word to you that will just meet your exact need. Can we continue? Oh, here's some more. Yeah. These are all the things you found. These are all the things you found. We don't have time to cover. Yeah, that's from your study. Take your pictures quick because I'm moving on. Yeah. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 2, 1. Oh. Let's read these verses. Go. I got baptized. I was 12, right after my 12th birthday. My sister gave me my first Bible. It's not this one. And she wrote these verses, you know, here as a dedication. These three verses have really governed my life since I was 12 years old. With what should a young man keep his way pure? His way. By guarding it according to your word. You know, this word, his way, is a very particular word in Hebrew. It actually means a rut, R-U-T, a rut. You know, sometimes we talk about rut in a not good way. Oh, I'm in a rut. Which means what? You're just going the same way, all the time. But this means, you know, up here in the country, you know, we have paved roads. But every now and then, this could be also in your neighborhood, but up here you see them more, that there are some areas that there's no road, but cars go. And when cars go, doesn't it make these indentations? You know what I mean? Like where the grooves for the tires. So if you drive enough, there's these two grooves. That's ways. The rut or track. Tracks that you make by not laying a track, but by walking that way over and over and over and over and over, and it makes a track. The Hebrew word is O-R-A-C-H, orak. You make an orak. You make a track. This is saying, young people, today, remember, see here it says young man, a young man. Today, you are setting the course of your whole life. Have the word in it to keep your direction later. Because sooner or later, you'll get tested by things. By human life, by problems, by loss, by school, by not getting into the college that you want to get into. That happens no matter how smart you are. Prepare yourself. You'll be tested. I know young people that they didn't get into the school they wanted. They said, oh, God let me down. I don't want him anymore. Would you do that? Would you turn away? Because the school? Or would you receive that? Lord, what are you saying to me? Why? Would that bring you deeper into the Lord? Well, it depends then. What happens then depends on, are you making that track today? Every day you have a chance to walk that way and make that track. Then it says what? With all my heart I have sought you. You know, throughout the whole Bible you'll see the word of God and our heart are put together. The Lord is a sower. I think I told you this the first night. He's a sower that goes out to sow. That's the picture of the Lord told us himself. In that story, his word is the seed. The seed is his word, and the ground is our heart. So all the time. Listen, every night before you go to bed, if you want to take my Psalm 119 project, just go like this. You turn to Psalm 119, and you say, oh Lord, I turn my heart to you. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Just read it. Just pray that little prayer and read it. You're making a track. I really would like some to try it and tell me in a month what it did to you. And if you really follow through 6 months, I want to know, is there a difference or not? I can take it if there's not. I can take it. But I'd really like for someone to tell me what was the result of that project. Actually, I know some. They did that. And that rescued them from, certain situation. Just one verse a day. One verse a day. Because the word of God, you know this verse by now, right? For the word of God is living and it works. In my heart I have treasured up your word. I'm so happy so many of you took in the word of God. Okay. Let's read this. Go. My
soul clings to the dust. Enliven me according to your word.
Some of you, throughout the course of this week, we've had talks, fellowship, you have problems, you have things. You wonder, and I know others have talked to other serving saints. You wonder, I got this problem. I just love this thing too much. So we say, just read the word. Just read the word. Trust the word. Don't fight against that. You'll never win that battle. That's not how you overcome. You don't overcome by fighting the thing you can't beat. But when you're in the Word, somehow, something in the Word makes you stronger. We can give testimonies. Read this. My soul melts.
Strengthen me according to your
Last week I got news that a sister passed away, younger than me. People younger than me shouldn't die. Actually, much younger than me. I was very close with this family. They were in New York when I was a teenager. I used to babysit her and her brothers when they were 3, 5, and 6 years old. So, grief. Then the parents, whom I know and love and I consider my spiritual parents, they call me, can you come? Can you come and speak? What am I supposed to speak? I'm going there Saturday, next Saturday. I'm supposed to say something. I don't know what to say. Maybe I'll say this verse, I don't know. But I've experienced this verse this week. So as I'm here with you, all the things, actually, part of me is not altogether here, hasn't been. But the word strengthens us to keep going, even to be happy, even to be not to be held down by things. Oh, I hope you can experience. Sorry, I'm talking too much about death tonight. But that happens. That happens. Read this. Turn.
My eyes from beholding vanity and enlighten me in your ways.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, some of us have problems with our eyes. Our eyes help us to sin. Have your eyes never helped you to sin? It says in John that part of the categories of the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Think about this. I don't know if you've ever heard a question like this. If you didn't have eyes, would you sin less? Probably. And it says in Romans that we should present our members as slaves to God because they are weapons of unrighteousness. They have been presented as weapons of unrighteousness to sin. Now we should present them as weapons of righteousness to God. So I hope that we would say, Lord, I give you my eyes. Lord, how about we pray that together? Lord, I give you my eyes. Here it says, turn my eyes from beholding vanity and enliven me in your ways. I tell you, the more you read the Bible, when you look at the things you shouldn't look at, the Lord will speak to you. Maybe this verse will come to you. That'd be wonderful. Let me know if that happens. Read this.
I will lift up my hands to your commands, and I will muse upon your statutes.
I think I illustrated this the first night. I will lift up my eyes, hands. I will lift up my hand to your commandment. You know what that means? It means like this. We do this just in, you know, somebody comes, and they just came to the camp. Ken, I lift up my hand. What's that? A greet. And then when we get closer, what do? Yeah, my hand's here. See, my hand's here. It's down. Then I'm walking over to Ken. Ken, I lift up my hand. That means what? I greet. I welcome. I receive. Can you do that? Or do you do that to God's word? Have you done that this week? Have you received God's word? But I hope you receive all of God's word. Sometimes some of God's word, it's, man, like it. God's word, man. God's this one's hard. I don't like that verse. Sorry. Is there a verse you don't like? Is there a verse you don't agree with? Yeah. Good. It's good that the verse has a reaction. Just tell the Lord that. Say, Lord, I'm not going to shake, but I will go like this. I accept that it's your word. I just don't like it, and I don't agree with it, and I'm not standing with it yet. How about you tell him that? But read it. Let it get into you. And let's see where we are in a year. Read this one. Oh, 128. Wow. If you're going verse by verse, how long will it take you to get to this verse? Wow. Huh? Yeah, 4 months later. So in 4 months from now, when you're reading this verse at night, in the morning or at night, I hope you spend time. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. Oh, I hope you enjoy it that way. The Bible is right about everything. I hope you have that feeling. Is that the last one? Oh, read this. I read this quotation the night of the special fellowship. Please read this. Watchman Nee said this. I hope this would be all of our standard. We stand with the word. It doesn't matter what people say, and it doesn't matter how many people say. Even if everybody says something different, we still stand with the word of God. Okay. This is my conclusion. I mentioned this to you. I think the high schoolers, only the high schoolers, that when I was 20 years old, yes, from my age 19 to 20, the churches in the Lord's Recovery, especially in North America, faced a very big turmoil, kind of confusing time. And I mentioned that just about half of my serving saints decided to go away from the church, including the ones who taught me about the church, about half, and half stayed. And actually, because of that turmoil, I didn't tell you this, right? I didn't tell you this. But today, in the Lord's Recovery in North America, among the brothers who are serving, there's actually a little age gap. There are not too many my year or just above or below me. But 5 years and older, there's a bunch. 5 years and younger, there's a bunch. Because my generation, a great part of them got swept away. And these are things that you hear in meetings and you would think they would never happen to you. But anyway, during those days, I told this, I'm not going to repeat it, but I told the saints about my experience, my 30 days in the book of 1 Corinthians. I gave that story already, that it really helped me. But this, what I want to show you here, is what Brother Lee shared when he went and toured the whole country. Basically, these are the three things that he shared to stabilize all the saints who are going through this kind of turmoil. The first one was, read it. Very simple. He charged the saints, read the Bible daily. At that time, so many saints finally started to read daily, whether 1, 2, 3, or 4 chapters a day. Actually, I was in the brother's house, And we had a project, and we all read together the New Testament in a month. And we just, it was a project that where it was four brothers living with a couple, and the mom and dad in the house, and the four of us. And we just, we read, and you know, Matthew has 28 chapters, 7 days, four, so it's very neat. Four chapters a day. In week one, everybody reads Matthew. And then at the dinner table, nearly every night, we talk about what we read. Or the brothers are driving to school together. We had common food, so we talk about what we read. And on a, and anyway, in 1 month, a little more, we read the whole New Testament. And then we all went on our own personal reading schedule. That helped us very much. Then the other thing Brother Lee shared, confess your sins daily. And the third thing was daily personal time with the Lord. And he emphasized this matter of personal, because before that, very interesting, that so many saints, the only relationship they had with the Word was in meetings, corporate meetings. And that was a big reason why we got fooled by those men. We got carried away by eloquent speakers, because many of us did not have our own foundation in the Word of God. These three things Brother Lee shared, this is like the stuff we share with you guys. Actually, this is a foundation for all the brothers and sisters. Take this home with you. Take these three points home with you. And then finally, this is something that came out in the special fellowship on Wednesday night. This is, let's see, I came to the Lord's recovery 1972, so 47 years, last month, 47 years. But not just that time, 47. I started following the Lord when I was, 12? So you have to add 2 years to that. So in these 49 years, from my observation of thousands of Christian young people, not just here in America, but there, Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, South America, Africa, in Europe, in Russia, in Australia, and in the Far East. And this is three things that I've come up with. If you have these three things, you will go on with the Lord. And the Lord will preserve you. Very simple, actually. You have a relationship with the Word of God. That's the first thing. Your own relationship with the Word. Whatever that means. Whether it's you read a verse, whether you sing it, whether you memorize it, whether you follow the church's morning revival, whether you're in a group meeting and they're studying something, so you read the verses according to that, but a daily relationship with the Word of God. Number two, very simple, spiritual companion or companions, at least one. Just have a friend to go on with. And thank the Lord that if you're in a place and you have nobody your age, and that happens, nobody your grade, well, we blend together in the Northeast, and the world is so small now, you can talk to each other from New York to Sydney. You can have a companion in Sydney, and except for the time difference, you can work something out. It's 14 or 16 hours, depending on, anyway. But even that, you can go on, you can encourage each other. You all are in the same time zone. You can talk on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and many texts in between. No reason not to have someone to go on with. And then the third thing, very important, at least one older saint you trust. At least one older saint that you can confide in. At least one older saint that you know won't judge you. Will stand with you, will encourage you, and will pray for you. That doesn't mean they necessarily can help you. We don't have all the answers. We don't. We confess that ahead of time. We don't always know what to say. But we'll stand with you. I hope all of you are blessed with that. Did you get the three and three? Let's go back just to make sure. Read the Bible. Confess your sins daily. Daily personal time with the Lord. That's what Brother Lee shared. And then, relationship with the Word. What's next? Spiritual companion. an older saint who cares. That's what I thought of to tell you before sending you all home. I hope this could help you when you go back. Let's sing that song again, brothers. Can you put it back up? Tell them, AV brothers. Let's sing, and then you have 30 minutes for sharing.